Good morning, good day, or good evening. My name is Eli Rowe, and this is the Middle-Aged Witch Podcast. Here we are again. It's Thursday, my witches. We are back, and thank you so much for joining me today, especially after last week's episode, which was a bit of a departure from our normal programming. I know, we delved into chaos magic a little bit last week, which isn't the kind of thing that we usually talk about, and the reviews were mixed, but that's okay. Not every topic is for every witch. Sometimes we talk about concepts that are polarizing. But as one witch said, sometimes we hear about something and it's completely off-putting. And then maybe some time goes by, we have different experiences, and suddenly we hear about it again, and it just hits different. And if the topic of thought forms did not land for you last week, that's totally fine. Maybe it's just not for you, or maybe it's just not for you right now. Who knows? But this week we are heading back into more familiar territory. We are going to talk about Ostara today. The March equinox is coming up on the 20th, so we have just about 11 days to get our ducks in a row for any rituals, tributes, or ceremonies that we may want to put together. But first, I want to read an email that I received a couple weeks ago with a really cool story that I wanted to read. It's not a spring story per se, but it gave me some spring vibes, and I wanted to read it anyway. Listening to your fairy episode reminded me of a time when I had taken my girls to the lake on my parents' property. There's a strip of forest there. It's not very large, but it is just a completely magical place. My family's land has a lot of energetic spots and portals, but that's another story. You can feel the fairy magic in the air here. Everything is so green, the spirits of the trees and the plants, and we call it the Enchanted Forest because that is what it is. We had been playing and walking and just enjoying being in nature, and then we headed back home. We have 35 acres, so it's a bit of a walk. When we got home, I distinctly remember hanging my keys up on their hook and then going on about my day. I went out to run errands later and couldn't find them. Finally, remembering our walk from earlier, I got a bit miffed and told the fairies off and said they better give me at least a hint of what they did with those keys. Before I could even finish the sentence, I was bombarded with images of the woods and a birch tree branch by the edge of the woods. Sure as shit, as soon as I walked my butt out to that woods, there they were, hanging from a birch tree branch, plain as day, glittering in the sunlight. I've moved since then, but no matter where I go, I always seem to sense the fey folk nearby. Now, I loved this story. I mean, this is some real fairy bullshit, isn't it? And I love the description of this witch's family property. It did remind me a lot of the field that's near our house and all of the weirdness that we sometimes feel while we're there. And then there is one last email before we dive in today, and this one is just a snippet from a larger message that I received, but it's got a really cool moon ritual that this witch and her family have devised. And I know the full moon was already on Tuesday, but this is just one to keep on the back burner for next month, especially if you have little witches in the house. I have really loved coming up with new moon and full moon rituals with my family. Our new moon ritual is to write out some intention to try and improve ourselves. But for our full moon ritual, we made moon muffins and put a birthday candle in each. We said something we were grateful for, blew them out, and then ate the muffin. We had an extra muffin that we are leaving out for the moon and the house fae with some wine. And my four-year-old drew a picture for the moon. She wanted to burn it. She is already so witchy and has no idea. And for any witchy mamas out there, my kids love my tarot cards, but some of the pictures are a bit adult, so I found a tarot deck for kids. They love having their own deck and doing a card of the day each morning. My six-year-old's favorite card is the tower, and my four-year-old likes the moon. So I'm going to put a link to the tarot deck that she's talking about. It's called Tarot for Kids by Teresa Reed and Kaylee Whitman, and it's really cute. And I would totally have bought it for my kids back in the day when they were little, if it had been a thing. And I just also really loved how simple yet meaningful, and especially how interactive the ritual is that she created. This witch has combined cooking with intention and some candle magic to create an excellent means for enacting those full moon manifestations or expressions of gratitude. And of course, it's always nice to leave a little something for the house fae. We like to keep them happy. And if you'd like to join the discussion, you can email me at eli@middleagedwitch.com or message me from the website, middleagedwitch.com, or you can DM me on social media at middleagedwitch, or join the Facebook group or the Discord server, and I will link all of those in the episode description. So today, as I said, I want to talk about Ostara, which is March 20th. So that's next Tuesday? Next Monday. No, Monday after next. This actually marks the new year for a lot of ancient cultures. The Roman calendar, the Babylonian calendar, the Persian calendar, and the Indian national calendar too. Those are all among those cultures who recognized the vernal equinox in March as the beginning of the new year. And of course, even now, the equinox is used here in the West to calculate the date that Easter falls each year. You know, and Easter is observed on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. But, you know, Christians don't put any stock in astrology or the moon phases, though. I'm just being facetious. Don't mind me. So Easter this year, falls on April 9th, I think. So we'll talk about that a little more in a few weeks. But Ostara, which is the precursor to Easter, this is the pagan vernal celebration of spring and rebirth and fertility and abundance and new beginnings. Now, the equinox is the day that falls exactly between the winter solstice and the summer solstice. So we are right in between the shortest day of the year and the longest. So from here on out, the weather gets warmer, the sun gets higher. This is the planting season, literally and figuratively. This is when we need to plant the seeds that we will be tending over the next few months that we intend to reap in the future. This is go time. You know, when we did the winter solstice episode, we talked about how that is the fallow time of year, a time for deliberate rest and mindful rejuvenation. And this is the time of year we get back to action, whatever that means to you. You know, it's different for everyone. For me, this is a time of very literal growth. I focus my energies in my garden, I do spring cleaning, and I set my goals and I enact my plans for achieving them. And these goals, you know, they change from year to year, but they also inform how I build my altar, which is another major part for me of acknowledging and observing the season. My main altar is where I keep shrines for the deities that I'm working with at any given time and whatever current intentions that I'm working on. And I do also like to include seasonal elements that I change up with the seasons as they come. So, you know, colors that are particular to spring might include for me lavender and green and yellow. And I'll also think about crystals that I might need to incorporate, and that could include, you know, peridot, moss agate, green aventurine, pink tourmaline, moonstone, jade, a lot of green, a lot of pale colors, a lot of pastels. And then, you know, early spring flowers are also very on point right now. So daffodils and crocuses, and my very favorite flowers, tulips, would make sense on a spring altar. I also have some hand-painted eggs that are really special to me that I'm going to be keeping out for the season. And if you've got any kind of animal totems that are appropriate for spring, like rabbits, lambs, and birds, that could also be very fitting. Now, I went through and I reviewed the Ostara episode from last year just to make sure I don't repeat myself too much today, but I did want to mention the lesser banishing ritual of the chocolate bunny again. This is a cute little ritual, and I did talk about it last year. The kids love it, and it's a lot of fun for everyone, and there's just tons of candy involved in it, and it's a great way to introduce ritual to your little ones while also keeping things light and silly. I am going to put a link to the ritual in its original form in the episode description so that you can check it out and see if it's something you'd like to include in your celebrations this year. But it's just totally customizable in terms of the script that you use and the candy that you decide to include. But it's just a really cool way to reinforce correspondences to little witches. Okay, and John is here, and he's breathing really hard, so if you can hear him snoring, I apologize. So basically, I'll go through the Cliff Notes version of this ritual, which is this. So you get a bunch of jelly beans and some marshmallow peeps, and also a chocolate bunny for each person who's participating in the ritual. And then, you know, there's, like I said, a little script, and you eat the jelly beans according to each color. So, you know, the yellow jelly beans would represent the sun, and the blues would represent the bluebirds, and the purples represent, like, the butterflies or whatever. And then the marshmallow peeps, because they're shaped like chicks, would represent new life. And then the big finale is the chocolate bunny itself, which represents Ostara as the embodiment of spring. It's so cute, and it's such a fun ritual, and it can be a beautiful culmination of an Ostara celebration to include a big feast with seasonal foods and an egg hunt and anything else that strikes your fancy. But again, I'm not trying to just repeat last year's episode, so as I said, I will link it in case you're interested, but there are so many other tales and origin stories and obscure deities of the season that I didn't include last year. Every culture has a unique spring celebration, and they're all so rich and just fascinating. And one that I think is very interesting, but not overdone, is the Feast of Annapurna, who is an ancient Roman deity who actually represents the circle or the wheel of the year. In fact, her name, Annapurna, means per annum. Her festival fell on March 15th, the Ides of March, and it would have marked the first full moon of the Roman New Year. Offerings were made to Annapurna to ensure that the circle of the year would be completed happily. Sacrifices and prayers were made to her at this time. Okay, I apologize. I had to put Johnny out. He was chasing his tail. So, as I was saying, sacrifices and prayers would be made to Annapurna during this festival. And of this festival, the poet Ovid wrote in the year 8 AD, "On the Ides is held the jovial feast of Annapurna, not far from the banks of Tiber. Who comest from afar, the common folk come, and scattered here and there over the green grass they drink, every lad reclining beside his lass. Some camp under the open sky, a few pitch tents, some make leafy hut of boughs. Others set up reeds in place of rigid pillars, and stretching out their robes, place them upon the reeds. But they grow warm with sun and wine, and they pray for as many years as they take cups, and they count the cups they drink." So here we see Ovid describing these young lovers gathering on the banks of the Tiber River to fraternize and flirt and pray for as many years as they drank cups of spirits, essentially a drinking game with socio-religious undertones, which I fully support. This celebration involved a big feast for the community, just lots of drinking and revelry. Now, some ancients identified Annapurna as a moon goddess, and others conflated her with Temis, the Greek goddess of justice and divine order. But Ovid prefers the origin story that depicts Anna as an old woman who would bake cakes each morning and then bring them out to the hungry Romans. She was so revered by the people of Rome that they began to worship her as if she was a goddess, to the point that, according to legend, upon her death, she actually became one. Now, after she achieved this deification, she was said to have impersonated the goddess Minerva and talked her way into bed with Mars. And it's this sauciness and ribaldry that gave her festival its flavor for, you know, randy songs and dirty jokes. And it's also the association with Mars that explains why her festival is celebrated during the month of March, which is, of course, named for Mars. But this kind of irreverence and joviality was so pervasive in so many of the ancient spring festivals and fertility rites, and is such a stark contrast to the very reverent, devout, joyless Easter celebrations that came to replace them once the paganism and polytheism sort of fell out of flavor. But the reason that I wanted to talk about the goddess Annapurna was that I really want to impress that Ostara is a time for joy and for release. I know there's a time and place for everything in the craft, but I have to say, we don't need to take everything so damn seriously all the time. The ancients had it right. All of their major religious observances basically turned into keggers and orgies by the end of the night. And, you know, after the somber, solemn seriousness of winter, we are ready for some levity. So have some people over, open up your home, and bring in that warmth that we are chasing right now. Invite the fun and the vigor of spring inside. Make things colorful and just think a little bit about what we would like to grow this season. Consider what kinds of seeds we'd like to sow during the celebration and just start putting intention into action. Ostara is for optimism and for looking ahead and celebrating the fact that we all made it through the long, dark, harsh days of winter. So please maybe think about approaching your Ostara celebrations from a place of gratitude and exuberance. There is so much to be excited about. So have a wonderful weekend. Thank you from the very bottom of my heart for joining me today, and I look forward to next Thursday. My name is Eli Rowe, and this has been the Middle-Aged Witch Podcast. The content of this podcast is not a substitute for direct, personal, professional, mental, or medical health care and diagnosis. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only.